Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Well, good morning. My name is Sean Trevino. I'm the assistant pastor here at Guts Church. Honored to be speaking this morning. As Pastor Sandy said, Pastor Bill is out of town in Kentucky, speaking on behalf of the Gibsons. So I'll be speaking. He doesn't make it easy on me, just so you guys know. He said, hey, you have to be really funny. Anybody ever had that kind of pressure coming up on stage? I don't have any jokes prepared, so just randomly just laugh, because he's probably watching online at some point, and I need you to have my back, okay? I have five kids. If you ever hear more than that, it's a lie, and that's it. We had four kids in the span of 5.5 years, which is very impressive, and we thought we were done. We're like, yeah. And then, you know, we thought we were trying not to have any more, and that didn't work. So 7 years later, we have Asher, and I can't imagine life without him. Actually, in this moment, I could, because he's teething and sleeping good. But, like, overall, generally, I couldn't imagine life without him. He's a great, Taylor's got, our kids are 2 days apart, and he's got three teeth coming in. And everything's a race, because, like, he's got a kid that's literally 2 days old, and I'm thinking, I hope my kid crawls faster. Like, I hope my kid, I don't know why. I already have four very good functioning kids, but somehow I'm still competitive about a baby. I coach him up at night. I pray for him. So today my message is titled Loveless Church, which is just kind of an oxymoron, right? Like, loveless and church shouldn't go together. But in Revelation chapter 2, where I'm going to start, literally in the New King James Version, the very top, starting in verse 1, it says loveless church. And here's what it says, starting in verse 1. It says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, he who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and you have found them liars. You have persevered, and you have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and you have not become weary. Right? They checked all the boxes. These are all good things. Man, you've worked hard. You've persevered. Twice he says you have patience. They must be like super patient people, right? Like, he keeps saying it, and you've persevered. You haven't grown weary. Man, we know those ought to be amazing things. We would like to be a church that has said those things about. Man, you work hard. You persevere. Man, you don't stand for what's evil. Man, you take a stand against it. It's so amazing. But, and then he goes on. It's kind of like, you ever had somebody come up to you and they tell you how amazing you are, and you're ready for like the, okay, give me the good stuff. Like, what am I not good at? Like, hey, you've done a good job. Like, you've been on time. You've accomplished. You're like, okay, just tell me what I need to work on. And that's exactly what we're about to get to. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. So we're going to talk about it this morning. Repent is basically turn from the way you've been going and start going that way. Repent is you got to leave all this behind and head in a whole different direction. So even though you're doing all these things well, he says repent and go back to the things you first did. Go back to those first works. Or else I will come to you quickly and I'll remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. There he is again, right? Like, just calling us out. Repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of those guys, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give you to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The love that God's talking about, it's the kind of love that causes elevation in our life and overcoming power. That's the kind of love that he's talking about here. He wants them to return to that. Why? Because he wants them to get to where they're supposed to be. He wants them to accomplish what they're supposed to accomplish. They're missing out if they're just doing all these good things, but they don't have the love of God. It doesn't make sense. God did not call us to be a part of his family, to his church, to be Christians, to do all the works right, but miss out on the love. It honestly doesn't make sense. It doesn't line up. You cannot have one without the other. If we're going to be a great church, yes, we got to work hard. We have to do all those things, but there must be love. So he's calling them out. He's saying, listen, you've forgotten your first love. He says, get back to those things that you first did. And it kind of was convicting as I read it, because when I got saved, I was 17, about to turn 18 years old. I was out of high school. I got saved, and I'm telling you guys, I didn't know anything. I maybe knew David and Goliath. Like, I kind of maybe understood that story, but I knew nothing else. So I dove in. Every waking moment I had, I was literally in the Word. I'm telling you, I'd read 30 or 40 chapters a day, and I hate reading. Like, I hate reading so much that I think I read one book all of junior high and high school combined. So if you're in the room and you hate reading, you're normal. My wife loves to read. Like, for fun, she reads. What? That doesn't make any sense. Like, there's nothing fun about it. But I wanted to know God. And because I wanted to know God, I said, I'll go through this reading thing. These people say is so important. So I began to read 30 or 40 chapters a day, and I was like, man, I couldn't get enough. So it becomes convicting because I realized my extra moments in life, I found to read the Word. I was going to community college. I was working at a movie theater. It was like paradise, right? Like, school's not too hard. I get to watch all the movies I want. But every waking moment I had, I thought, what am I going to do? I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to get to know God. I got to know what He has to say. I got to get to know who He is. I got to get to know what He has for my life. And I thought, do I still do that? I have 5 kids. I work at Guts Church. I have a lot of stuff going on. But in my extra moments, am I finding time to get away with Him? That's your first love. And that's what I remember. When it says return to your first works, that's what I'm thinking of. That's who I was. I couldn't invite enough people to church. I couldn't get to church enough. I remember thinking, I can't believe they let me into church. They must not know really who I am. And so we go through that sometimes, like, they let me in. And you know what? My family that said lightning would strike when I was in church was wrong, because I have never once been struck by lightning sitting outside church, right? You had those thoughts going in. You're a bad person. Man, they're going to judge you. And they didn't. That's what I love about the church, is it's wrong. The people on their outside perspective, the enemy just lies to them. You're not going to come in and get judged. You're coming in and get loved. That's why he was reminding them. He's saying, go back to that. That's just not good for us. That's good for everybody who comes into this house, that they have to remember that this is a place where you're going to find love. Here he counsels them to return to their first love, to keep Jesus first in their hearts. Man, we have to be reminded of that all the time, that we don't become professional Christians, that we don't think we get so good at this, that we don't have to put God first. Nothing can take that place. Please understand that. No matter how many messages you hear, no matter how much you think you understand, God always has to be first. That's all he was reminding them of. You've gotten really good at church. You've gotten really good at working hard. You've gotten really good at persevering, but you have forgotten the most important thing. Return to your first love. Do those first works. Do those things again. And it's just crazy because you can be in church so long that you start thinking, oh, I can see all these things that are wrong. I can see these things that, man, I wish they would change this. But when you first started, like me, you were just glad they let you in. Like, the fact that I get to be here is great. But we get so far from our first love that we get from thanks for just letting me come in to, man, you should change that. Why do they do that? Why do they split up worship? I think they should have all worship at one time. I can't even get in the presence of God 2 songs at a time, right? Like, we get that in our brain, and it's just, we got to get back to that place where it's like, thank you for letting me in the room. Thank you, God, that I get to be in your presence and around your people. Thank you, God, that I get to worship you corporately with all these people. Thank you, God, that I get to listen to your word and learn and grow and be challenged by it. Thank you, God, that I get to be in the room. But when we walk away from that first love, you'll find yourself getting a little cynical, maybe getting a little judgmental, maybe getting even a little bit critical. And all you got to remind yourself is repent. Man, go back to that first love. Go back to those things that first worked. In Revelations 2:5, the word first means foremost, in time, place, order, or importance. And the word works is defined as toil, as an effort or occupation. In other words, if you find that you have left your first love for the Lord, get your priorities back in order and do the most important things. What are the most important things? What is that that's most important? It's getting in His word. It's getting around His people. You have to do those things. Man, don't ever think that you get so far in your Christian walk that you don't need to be around His people. Man, I always remember this because I don't like to be alone. That's why I had so many kids, right? Like, always somebody's around you and with you. Unless I'm like reading and spending time with God, let's go. Who can come with, right? Like, that's my life. My wife's a little different, come to find out, but she's adapted and we're doing well. But I remember reading in the New Testament, and Jesus always sent them out in teams. He never sent anyone out alone. I remember reading about him sending out the disciples, and he sent them out in twos. And I just kept thinking, this is so amazing. I don't want to do it alone, so thank you, Jesus. But I just thought that's so amazing because there's so much more power when we're together. There's so much more power when we're together, when we realize we can't do this alone. Man, we need somebody who's going to say, you're doing a great job. We need somebody who's going to say, hey, you got to suck it up a little bit here. Man, you got to get going. You got to realize that we're falling behind and we're not doing things right. So you got to remember those things. But you need those people in your lives. I know that life. That's my life right there, okay? Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, and he's 7 months old. I'm like, when do you stop crying? I don't remember anymore because my other kids are so old, okay? Matthew 24, 12 says this, sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold. Sin will be rampant and love growing cold. I believe there's a correlation between these two. I believe when we lose that first love, we can still come to church. We can still check all the boxes. We can still do all those things, persevere, be patient, you know, but we'll begin to fall into that sin if our love grows cold. Because that's what this whole thing is based on, is love. If you're wondering what's, it's all love. The Bible literally goes as far as to say is God is love. That's why a loveless church is, it doesn't make sense. It's a church without purpose. That's why I'm so glad. I mean, God, he's just calling them out in Revelation saying, listen, go back. It's not worth it just to do those things. It's not worth it to just do all the works and just persevere and work hard and not to grow weary without the love. Without the love. Return to your first love. Do those things you first did. Go back to that. All right, I got 4 points for you guys here. Number one is we become infatuated with knowledge instead of holiness. Personal holiness is no longer our quest. We become convinced that knowledge is what makes us holy. Thus, knowledge, something we can attain for ourselves, replaces God's presence and lordship in our life, something we cannot do ourselves. What we know becomes more important than who we are. The Bible even goes as far as say knowledge puffs up. We become just, I'm just going to learn. No, this is a relationship. This is a relationship with God. You got to spend time with God. It's not just learning and then, but yes, we're studying. Yes, we're growing in knowledge. Yes, we're growing in wisdom. Yes, we're doing it, but it can't just become about that. Because I'm telling you, the world doesn't really want to know how much I know. They want to know how much I care. They want to know that I love them. We will not win the world over by just telling them how right we are and how wrong they are. We will win the world over when we love them. And I think too often we think that's going to do it. Man, I'm going to take such a hard stance and I'm going to let them know they're wrong and I'm right and we're not winning anybody. Yep. It doesn't work. They've tried it through the ages. The thing that works is God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus. He showed us the example of how to do it. You got to love. You got to sacrifice. It's got to become about them. Jesus didn't die for himself. He died for us. Yep. It became about us. That's how we have to live our lives. It becomes about them. It becomes about everybody else. It can't be about knowledge. It can't be about knowledge. Number two, we know we got to return to our first love if we lose our heart for outreach and see the world as our enemy instead of our mission field. Rut-row. Right? Like sometimes it's like, they're the bad guys and we're the good guys. That's not the case. We got to love them. That's our mission field. I'll never forget Pastor Bill came to ORU when I was a student there, and he gave a message about the lost. And he said, at the end of the day, the lost is just your family that's locked up, and we got to get them free. And that stuck with me forever. They're not our enemy. Man, the world is our mission field. Go into all the world and preach the good news. Man, that's not our enemy. They are there to be reached. They are your family that's locked up and lost and deceived by the enemy. Man, you want to tell you, you're going to get one of my kids locked? I'm going to find a way to get them out. I love them so much. That's the heart of God. That's the heart we have to have for people. The world is not our enemy. That's our mission field. That's what we have to go over. You got to start looking at it differently. But when we leave our first love, they become the enemy. They become the, man, why? No. They don't understand. I always tell people, until somebody comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus, they don't get it. There's scales on their eyes. You could talk them blue in the face. It's not going to make sense to them. They got to have revelation. They got to have understanding. That only happens when we love them. When they sense that God loves them. When they sense that we're not judging, they can understand that God's not judging them. When they can realize that we don't condemn them, they'll realize God doesn't condemn them. When they see that we love them, they'll realize that God loves them. And that's what wins them over. The world is not our enemy. They are our mission field. Number three, we become okay or content with what we are instead of being driven to become more like Christ. The passion for becoming more like Christ is diminished. Instead of comparing ourselves to Jesus, we begin to compare ourselves against one another. Always reasoning within ourselves that as long as we are better than so-and-so, we're okay. It's not about being better than so-and-so. It's about being like Christ. And I'm telling you, that's just a continual growth. It's just we're always growing. We don't ever get to this attaining. I remember when I first got saved, I had these issues. I took care of those issues, and I thought, man, I'm good. And I got to this stage of life, and guess what? I had some more issues, right? And then we got those taken care of. And then I became a parent and realized I didn't know anything, right? So whole new issues. Now I have a teenager, and I'm in that moment again, a teenager and a baby, right? Like, those are extremes. Don't do it, okay? If you did it, God bless you, and I'm in the same boat. But you realize there's always something new we got to be growing in. This life of God, the soil of our heart is always being tilled. It's always fresh. So we're always learning and growing. It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how many times I've read Proverbs, something new sticks out to me. I literally will think, who put that in there? I've read this chapter 20 times. It wasn't in there before. Why? Because it wasn't dealing with that. I wasn't going through that thing. Well, now I'm going through that thing, and I need that word. So it jumps off the page at me. Man, you got to realize that we're not comparing ourselves to so-and-so. We're comparing ourselves to Christ. We're not called to run anybody else's race. He doesn't tell us, man, he says, be like him. Yeah. Jesus is our standard. That's what we're striving for. We're striving to be like him. Man, if you want to just realize when they were putting Jesus down, when they were condemning, when they were on him and yelling and pulling out his beard, he didn't say anything. He didn't respond. He didn't say anything. He held his tongue. He was right. He was doing the right thing. He was in the right place. He still didn't defend himself. But sometimes we feel like we have to defend ourselves. I have to defend myself. Man, you don't. You don't have, man, God is our defender. God is our defender. He'll take care of you. We have to be like Christ, not like so-and-so. Instead of being concerned about, number four, instead of being concerned about the things that concern him, we seem more concerned about ourselves and our personal desires. Unwilling to give all we are and all we have to Jesus, we seem to be unwilling to be inconvenienced for Jesus. We do not witness, for that would cause others to think we're fanatical. We are more willing to give our time, energy, and money to what we want or what will entertain us than we are the things of God. It becomes about us. Man, I'm going to give to the wife because this makes me feel good. This entertains me. And that's not wrong. Listen, I'm like a movie. I go to the movies all the time. I cry in movies. I mean, I'm telling you, movies are my thing. Like my wife is a books. That's me with movies, right? Like, give me a pass. I would go every day. So I'm not saying don't entertain yourselves. What I am saying is we become sometimes more focused on that than we do on God. And we don't ever want to be inconvenienced. Can I just tell you, if you're a Christian, you're going to be inconvenienced because it's about his way, not our way. It's about who he loves. It's about going after the people that he loves. And so I'm telling you, some of the best ministry moments of our life is when I was inconvenienced. When I didn't want to be somewhere, but I knew it was the right thing to do, so I went and God dropped something. And sometimes it blessed me. And sometimes it was to bless somebody else. But I'm telling you, there's those moments, it's okay to be inconvenienced. Man, church isn't always convenient. There are other things you could be doing on a Sunday, but you're here. There are other things you could be doing on Wednesday nights, but man, be in the room. I'm telling you guys, it's about being here. It's about being around these people. We can't be so concerned about our own things. We got to be concerned about what does God desire? What does he want? Who does he want me to reach? Don't get so self-focused. Get God-focused. Decide I'm going to make a change. I'm going to be about the things that God is about. It's dangerous to go through the motions of Christianity without a passionate love for Christ. Here's why. People are watching. So if I'm going through the motions of Christianity, but I don't love God, and there's not that love in my heart, my kids aren't going to understand it. It will not make sense to my kids. Because if it's just the works and the toil and there's no love, it doesn't click with anybody. It'll be hard to witness. Because they'll be like, that guy does all the right things. He's just not very nice. Man, that guy's at church all the time, but I don't feel like he really loves either himself or anybody around him. That sends the wrong message to our kids, to the people that are following us, to our coworkers. But listen, that church was abstaining from evil. They weren't doing bad things. They were persevering. They were working hard. They weren't growing weary. They just were missing out on love. And that's what reaches people. That's what changes people is love. Man, I'm telling you guys, I just want you guys to hear that message because I believe that that's what we have to start doing. People got to see, we got to go back to it. Man, your first love. When you first started to come to church, you wanted to talk to people about it. Why? Because God was doing something in you. I remember I couldn't even figure out how to say what God was doing in me. Man, my old buddies walk up, they're like, what's different? I'm like, I love God. What does that mean? I don't know, but I want to be at church, and I don't want to do what you guys are doing anymore. That's about as good explanation as I had. That's it, right? But that's all I wanted. And then I would say, you should come too. Man, whatever you guys are going through. And I remember guys would show up at my house drunk in the middle of the night, and I'd be like, you could stay at my place, but you got to hear about Jesus. And sometimes drunk people listen really well. Like, I was blown away. I was like, they'd let me, like, work out how to talk to them, you know? Like, that was good. Thank you. But I just remember thinking, I just wanted the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And I didn't want them to feel judged. I wanted them to feel loved. My daughter had a soccer game yesterday, and it rained all day, so that was a lot of fun. And I remember thinking, it was muddy, it was gross, I'm just wet, and I'm just thinking, what am I doing out here? You know, it's like a 10-year-old soccer game. Like, I could not be here, right? But then I was like, I love that little number 10 out there. And because I love that little number 10 out there, I don't care how muddy it is. I don't care how messy it is. Now, if it was you guys, I'd have been sitting in the car. Like, I'd have probably still been there and cheering and honked if you guys scored. But not only that, but like, we're losing. And I'm out in the rain and it's muddy. But I love that little girl. It doesn't matter how messy or hard it is. And God's the same way with us. doesn't care how messy it is. He doesn't care how muddy it is. He doesn't care anything. He's just going to be there for us. He's going to be there no matter what. That's a good father. That's what God does for us. So I just want to remind you guys of that. Like, no matter how far you feel like you've gotten or how much you've messed up, it's always one step back. That's all it is. Man, the Bible says, he says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And we want to overcomplicate that, but you can't. All you got to do is take a step towards God and he's right there waiting for you. He's right there waiting for you. What Jesus wants is for us to love him like he loves us. And that's such a challenge. Man, because his love for us, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. He would do anything in the world for us. He would do anything in the world for us. And then the call is just the same on us, that we begin to love like he loved us. Jesus has never lost his passion for us. If you're in this room and you feel like he hasn't. He's still passionate about you from the moment you gave his life to him. Just since the moment you were born, he's been passionate about you. Just like we are with our own kids. Man, there's nothing like it. They're brand new. They've done nothing right or wrong, and you just have a love for them. God's the same way with us. He's the absolute same way with us. He hasn't lost his passion for you. And always telling us is return to your first love. Return to your first works. Go back to the way you were doing it. Man, if you've lost your way, it's always calling out to you is go back. That's how we reach the world. It's not condemning. It's not judging. It's love. And I'm telling you, we get so convinced in our minds that there's another way to do it, and there's not. We cannot become a loveless church. We cannot become a loveless people. He loves you so much. Today, Jesus is saying, remember from where you have fallen, return to your first works and the life which you were called in Christ. Just go back. That's what's so cool is he's not making it difficult. God has never made it difficult. If anyone complicates it, it's us. I think about that all the time. Man, sometimes I just complicate it. You know, I'm thinking things should happen a certain way and they don't. And it always comes to pass. If I keep focused on him, everything I've desired has come to pass. If you were going to tell me I'd ever be on this stage speaking, I'd have called you a liar. Pastor Bill didn't want to give me a job. He says that from the stage all the time. I think I just wouldn't leave, right? Like, he's like, give the kid a chance. He's not leaving, right? And then to have the honor to come up here, I'm like, how does that happen? It's God. It's God. I just knew what he'd called me to, and I didn't stop. You're sitting in this room, and God's called you to something. Maybe you've stopped. Get back up. Start running after it again. There are dreams, there are visions, there are desires in your heart, and God loves you so much. Just like I want my kids to fulfill the dreams that's in their heart, God wants the same for you. The exact same for you. He's not withholding anything from you. I think sometimes we think, well, God just hasn't let me know yet. If you're wondering what your purpose is in life, it's to know him and to make him known. I simplified it for you. Those are the two things you have to be great at. Knowing God, getting his word, understanding him, and then making him known. I'm going to end with this. I'm going to compare Revelations 2:2 with Ephesians 1:15 and 16. Here's what it says. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. So the letter is written to the same church. This is to Ephesians, and Revelation, he's talking to the people of Ephesus. So at one point, he was saying, listen, your love and your faith for Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, it's so amazing. People everywhere know about it. He's like, I haven't stopped thanking God for it. Everybody knows about this love. Everybody does. And then you get to Revelations, and it's like, hey, you forgot about the most important thing. You left your first love. And he doesn't say, hey, I'm giving up on you. He says, repent, turn back to your first works. Do you know that's just always his response? I loved hearing Pastor Bill say, God's not the God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance and another chance and another chance. Why? Because I was one of those guys. I needed a few other chances. I did. And maybe you're sitting in this room and you're in the same place. Let's pray in here this morning. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you for what you're doing in the midst of us. God, I pray for hearts in here. Maybe people who've kind of just lost that love, they've kind of maybe fallen away, God. And today, just call them back. Call them back, God. Maybe people are sitting here, Father, and they don't know you. God, that you'd speak to their hearts. You let them know how much you love them and how proud of them you are. If you're in here this morning and your life's not right with God for whatever reason, you don't have to qualify. You just know you're not where you need to be. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you did 20 years ago, but you've kind of fallen into that loveless church role. or you're doing all the right stuff, but you're missing out on the most essential part, and that's loving people. So if you're in here this morning, you just need to get back on track. You just got to, I just need to get back on, I just need God to take over. Maybe it's a half a step, maybe you feel like you're a million steps away. All I'm going to have you do is raise your hand. If that's you in here, can you just raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Just wave it at me. I kind of just lost that first love. I just got to get back. God bless you too. Anybody else? I just need to get my life right with God. God bless you. I love it when guys raise their hand and raise it high. Anybody else? And today I just got to return to that first love. I just got a little off track. And I've been at church, I feel like I've been doing the right things, but I've just forgotten that it's about people and about loving them. It became about myself. It became about how righteous I was, not about how amazing God is. Anybody else, just raise your hand. We're all going to pray together here in a second. If that's you, just raise your hand. Anybody else? God bless you. Let's all pray in here together this morning. Everybody say, Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I put all my trust in you. Forgive me for the wrong things I've done. I'm living for you now. I will show your love to all people. I love you, God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thanks, guys.